is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in
Who Sold Cock Robin? With cutting this blooming grass. I don't see any sense in having grass anyways, unless you're a cow.
Jimmy, get on with mowing that lawn.
Oh, heck, here he comes. The slave driver from Sucky Old Street. Grandfather, I'm only having a wee rest than you, you know.
Rest? You've not been at it 5 minutes yet.
Well, why don't you buy a motor mower? Then I could tear around like Jack Brabham.
Jimmy, we just can't afford one.
You could get it on the Never Never like the telly. 10 bob down and 5 bob every time the man catches you in.
Oh, wait here, Jimmy. You've had a shilling to do that long, so get on with it.
Oh, all right. There's things you have to do for a couple of lollipops. I wonder what Mr. Ironside does next door. I've never heard him using a lawnmower. And his grass is always short. I wonder if he has a goat or... perhaps he chews it himself.
Hello there. Well, if it isn't young Jim, my favourite little whacker.
Mr. Whittle, what are you doing here? I thought you were living in Australia.
Oh, well, I set off there, but I didn't quite make it to the land of the Aboriginal.
Well, where did you go?
New Brighton. Oh, no, Jim, I'm pulling your leg. Just being a bit fastidious. I finished up in India building a road for one of them Indian rulers, a mirage.
Mirage? That's something that isn't there.
Oh, well, he was out a lot, pig-sitting and going up the hills to medicate with the beetles. Most of the time I got the instructions from his wife, the marijuana.
She sounds a bit of a dope.
I don't know. She was very bright, good-looking and all, especially when she was wearing a native costume, the safari.
What? Did she ever wear an isle mole?
I'll mow.
Oh, thanks very much. All right, you mow and I'll have a rest.
Ah, you caught me there, Jim. You've not altered. Except for one thing, you're working.
You're not kidding. It's hard work cutting this grass.
Well, no wonder with that lawn mower, it's worn out. They don't make them anymore. That model's obscene. When did your granddad find it?
I'm not sure. What year was the coronation? Queen Victoria's.
What have you stopped mowing for?
Well, for good, unless you buy a new mower. This one's obscene.
What? Well, if it isn't the island laddie. Watch a jock.
Harry Whittle. Well, Harry, when did you get back?
Oh, yesterday. I was going to look you up last night, but it took me all day finding Jigs. And anyway, I wasn't feeling too good. My face was aching. I was taking aspirins all night.
What was it, Susie?
No, just a pain in my jaw. I think it was a touch of nostalgia.
Hey, my granddad had that. He rubbed it with that oil of Clovich.
Quiet, Jimmy. Well, Harry, it's nice to see you. Are you staying long?
Just still opening time. That's what I called round for. I thought I might drag you down to the Rose and Crown for a pint.
Drag him? If you've got the money, he'll give you 100 yards start.
Now, do you be so sticky, Jimmy. Get on with mowing that lawn like I told you to do.
Oh, yes, Grandad.
Come in, Harry. Come on in while I just wash my hands and face. Then I'll be with you.
You go in, Jock. I just want to have a word with young Jim.
Right, Harry. But talk to him while he's mowing, or it'll never get done.
All right, Sharpie.
It's all right for him, Mr. Whittle, but this mower's hard to push.
Well, you want to get them cogs oiled and cleaned, but don't use anything harsh. Find something soft.
Hello, Mr. Whittle. We've found it.
You found what?
Alfie Hall. You'll never find anything softer than him.
Hey, well, Mr. Whittle, what a surprise. Hey, you're a sight. Yeah, I saw what I mean. Yeah, for him. Yeah, to say, how are you?
Baffled as ever, Alfie. Anyway, mate, it's nice to see you. Are you still taking young Susan out?
Yes, but the trouble is he keeps fetching her back.
All right, clever boy. Yeah, anyway, is Susan in yet?
No, on her way home she was calling in the hairdressers.
What, to have her heard of?
No, to have her beard trimmed.
Ah, but she only had it done. You see, will your bell talk?
She's not in yet, but why don't you wait out here for her? Then you can see her coming.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and while you're waiting, have a bit of a walk up and down the garden.
What for?
Well, while you were walking, you could push the lawnmower in front of you.
You're a crappy little monkey. All right, come on, give it to you. I quite like cutting grass, really.
I'm not kidding, Jim. You could get round anybody. If you was in China, 5 minutes with you, and that Chairman Mao Zedong would be singing Rule Britannia.
Oh, heck. Oh, I hope Alfie gets a move on. I've just spotted Aunt Susan at the end of the road. Oh, good. She's stopping to talk to somebody. Keep going, Alfie. You're doing very well for a learner.
Yay, I found a bird.
Is he talking about Aunt Susan?
I thought she found him. In a lucky dip.
Ah, oh, there's something wrong with the bird's leg.
He's talking about our Susan. She's got knobbly knees.
Stop taking the Michael.
It can't work properly.
It's them high heels she wears.
Hey, it's a young crow that Alfie spotted.
Ah, oh, did him dirt it little leggy then? Never mind, Uncle Alfie make it better.
What's up with it?
He's had a nasty shock.
Had a nasty shock? How do you mean?
Just found out it's related to Alfie.
Say, never mind a joke. The poor little thing's hurt its leg.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's have a look. Give it here, you're frightening it. There, that's better, ain't it, little birdie? It likes me. I'll take it in the house and give it something to eat and drink.
Well, be careful, Jim. Handle it with care. She's very braggily.
Oh, sorry, Birdie. Did I frighten you? Come on and see me, ma'am.
Oh, there you are, Jimmy. Have you said this cutting that... What's that you've got?
A little crow, ma'am.
Oh, Jimmy, what are you bringing it in here for?
For something to eat and drink. It hurt its legs.
Oh, the poor little thing. We'll bring it in the kitchen here.
Right, ma'am. You hold it while I get the saucer.
No, you hold it. I'll get the saucer. There's some water in that jug.
Right, ma'am. I'll get it. Come on, Birdie. Jump up. He won't drink like this. Like me granddad. Wants to stand against the bar. There we are, Birdie.
Now, careful, Jimmy. Keep hold of it.
All right, ma'am. Just don't move quickly.
All right. Hello, Mother. I'm home. Oh, what a day I've... Help!
Oh, you've done it now, big mouth.
Help, Mother, there's a bird in here.
Ooh, what a brain. We know you're smart.
Jimmy, catch it. Oh,
Jimmy, do something. All right, keep still.
I know. Help, it's staring at me.
It's looking for somewhere to hide. It thinks your mouth's a crow's nest. If you don't shut it, it'll nip in and lay an egg.
Quiet now. It's settled somewhere.
I can see it. Come on, Birdie. Uncle, give me a look after you. Got it.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, frightened the life out of me.
Frightened you? What do you think you did to the bird? Having a quiet drink and a bit of bread, and when the door bursts open, and in comes Dracula's daughter. I wonder its feathers didn't turn white.
You mean you brought it in here to give it a drink of water and bread?
Yeah, and I'd do the same for you if I could.
What?
Put you on bread and water for 6 months.
Oh, that's enough, Jimmy. Susan, the bird had hurt its leg, and he was just looking after it.
Well, you ought to take it to the police station, Mother. So they'll see that it's taken care of, or if it's too bad, then they'll put it to sleep.
What? You bird murderer.
Jimmy, don't be so ridiculous. Look, take it to that shop in Grosvenor Street, where they have all the cages in the window, Mr. Bottomley's. He'll tell you what to do with
it. Oh, yes, ma'am. That's it. Thanks. Come on, little crow. Say bye-bye to your ma'am. But keep away from Cathy Clara, the bird killer. No wonder she put red paint on her clothes. It's to hide the blood.
Ah, good morning, young man. Good morning, good morning.
Hello. Are you Mr. Bottomley?
Yes, that is right. I am, yes, I am Mr. Bottomley.
You don't sound very sure. Do you only sell cages, or do you keep birds here?
Oh, yes, of course, yes, indeed I do. I keep dozens of our little pheasants in. In fact, I grieve whenever I have to sell one. They're in a large shed at the back, outside, behind.
Why don't you have them in the shop?
I can't stand whistling.
Well, I've got a bird in this cardboard box. I found it. It can't walk properly.
Oh, dear. Is it injured? Has it damaged something? Broken something?
Yes. Its leg. All three of them.
Pardon?
Yes. Have a look. Come on, Birdie. I want to give it to you.
Ah! Oh, it's a crow. Oh, I couldn't have that. Keep that. I couldn't take that. No one wouldn't buy it.
Well, then you wouldn't get upset about having to sell it. To sell it. Besides, crows don't whistle, so it wouldn't annoy you.
No, but they caw.
You what?
Caw, you know. Caw.
Caw, blimey. Well, that's how it sings. Caw.
Yes, all right. I know that's how they sing, but it's got a damaged leg.
Well, what do you want, a singer or a dancer? Anyway, you can't leave the poor little thing outside hopping round on one leg.
No. Of course not. Definitely not. We can't do that. No.
Is your needle stuck?
Look, leave it to me. I'll see it looked after.
Oh, good.
I must say you've been very kind, very nice, very thoughtful to bring it here. Yes. You're a very good boy. A good boy.
I feel like a puppy who's just done a trick.
Well... I'd like to reward you for your kind act.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
Oh, please. Now, let me see if I have a shilling.
Oh, no, I don't think I should.
But I want you to have it.
Oh, no, I couldn't.
Oh, very well, if that's how you feel.
But if you insist, I'll have it.
Good morning, morning. Oh, no. It's not you again.
Yes. This. Now, so far, I've brought you two poor lonely birds. But this time, I thought I'd make you happy. I brought you a family.
What?
A nest with two sparrows, three eggs, and a tin of worms to feed them on. Half a crown, the lot.
Please, no more birds. I couldn't stand it. I refuse. I won't. No.
I haven't come to sell you another bird.
Oh, good, fine, that's all right.
I've brought you a frog.
Would you like anything else, Grandad?
No, thank you, my dear, had enough.
Well, how about you, Mother?
Oh, no, that meal's probably ruined 3 days of dieting already.
Another cup of tea, then?
No, thanks. I'll just help you to clear away.
No, I'll do it, Mother. I've got the tray here. I suppose I'd better leave a place for King James.
Oh, yes. I expect His Majesty's been kept in at school again.
Oh, well, Pat, some of these schoolmasters have no sense of humor. They just don't appreciate Jimmy's wee jokes.
No, that's right. Nobody must say anything about Grandad's little angel.
There's the little angel now. Sounds as though he's dropped his harp.
Now, you're as shocked with him as I am, Pat.
Oh, I won't be. Not if he brings any more animals in here. Crows, robins, sparrows. We only need an eagle to start our own aviary.
Are you sure that was him? He usually bursts in here like someone who's been on hunger strike for a month.
Well, it must be him. Jimmy, is that you?
Hello, Mum. Grandad?
Yeah, well, what have you been doing ever since you came in?
Oh, well, I went up to the bathroom to wash my hands.
Without being threatened? Things are looking up.
Oh, never mind the jokes, ma'am. Is the tea ready, please?
Well, we finished ours. Susan cooked the tea half an hour ago.
Oh, cookhouse cake's been at it again, has she?
No, I'm not having any cake from you. If you're late from school in future, you can cook your own tea.
Susan's quite right. You're most ungrateful. There aren't many sisters who would cook your tea for you like Susan does.
They couldn't cook like she does. Not unless they fried it in wagon fat.
Oh, now, Jimmy, you've said enough. Get on with your tea, and I don't want to hear another word about food.
All right. I'm going up to have my bath, Mother. I won't be very long.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't go yet.
Well, why not?
I want to go up and wash my hands first. I must have clean hands to eat this lovely tea.
You just washed your hands.
Oh, I mean my knees, then.
Why wash your knees before your tea?
Well, I'm a sloppy eater, and some might fall on my lap. I mean, I can't put it back on the plate if my knees are dirty.
Oh, don't be so silly. Go on, Susan.
Right, I'll be down in 10 minutes.
You'll probably be down in 10 seconds.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. Well, I'll go out and play, ma'am. I'll nip upstairs for me roller skate.
You finish your tea before you go anywhere.
Oh, ma'am, I just want to go upstairs for a minute.
You heard your mother. Now get on with your tea.
Oh, never mind, Father. I don't know what's going on, but if you have to go upstairs, go up.
Too late.
What was that?
Perhaps I think the bathroom door wants oiling. Well, I have had enough tea. I'll just go out.
You horrible thing! Take that!
Oh, oh, you big dog, Nelly!
Susan, what are you doing?
And not by the look of it.
There's a frog in the bath. A frog?
What?
I was just turning on the tap and I saw this horrible thing looking at me with its great beady eyes.
You were looking in the mirror. I'll go up and see.
You come here, Timmy, and explain.
She's making it up. I'll go and look for myself.
He put it there, I know. He went up to the bathroom when he came in.
Well, if he was trying to scare Susan, I'll tan his hide for him.
I don't know what she's talking about. There's no frog up there.
I shouldn't think there is now. What have you got your hand in your pocket for, Jimmy?
Oh, I'm cold. Excuse me. I'm me dinner.
Take that frog out of the house this minute and get rid of it.
Yes, ma'am. Right, ma'am. Straight away, ma'am.
And when you come back, if you're still cold, I'll think of a way to warm you up.
Oh, it's all her blinking fault. Fancy having a bat on a Monday. Off you go, froggy. You've been a right dead loss. Never mind. I like you, even if you have an ugly face.
Were you talking to me, Jim?
Oh, no, Mr. Whittle. Hey, when did you buy that puppy?
Oh, is that silly? Go away, Doggy. Go on. Shoo!
You don't think you're a cat. Oh, he knows about them.
What do you mean, cat?
Quiet, boy, quiet. Don't mention that word, Mr. Whittle. Anyway, whose dog is it?
I don't know. It hasn't got a collar.
Maybe it's an orphan like my frog was. But why don't you keep it?
Oh, I couldn't do that. My new landlady would never allow that. You see, she's got a cat.
Don't say that.
All right. She has got a C-A-T.
She can spell as well. It's dead clever. I'd get rid of that cat, that other animal, and keep a dog.
Oh, no, Jim. The landlady said she would never have a dog in the house on account of the smell.
Oh, well, the dog would soon get used to that.
Look, Jim, why don't you keep him?
What? If I haven't took a ladybird in the house, I'd be shot.
I've heard about your activations this week. Bring them back alive, Jim. I'll tell you what, I'll take it along to the police station.
He's too young to go to jail. Look, we'll take it to the pet shop, and you can tell the police where it is.
I suppose a pet shop might be a bit more lugubrious than a cop shop.
Of course, and there's the money to think of.
What money?
The $5 I'll get from Mr. Bottomley. All right, get down. Stop licking me legs. Hey, mind your shoes, Mr. Whittle.
You what? Oh, you naughty doggy.
Jimmy, what's going on? I thought you said you'd taken this dog to the pet shop and got a customer for it.
I did. And Mr. Bottomley said his friend had had Joy for broken back on Saturday.
Wait, it's only Wednesday today.
I know. So I'm going to leave Joe with my pal, Ozzy Higginbottom, for a few days.
Ah, if he'll have him.
Of course he'll have him. I'll just explain and ask him nicely and tell him I'll clout his head if he doesn't.
Ah, but Ozzy's dad might not like having a dog in the house.
Get away. Mr. Higginbottom loves dogs. He even likes Ozzy. Anyway, we're here now, so it's no use arguing.
Oh, I shouldn't worry about Mr. Higginbottom yet. It's nearly time for Rose and Crown to open. He'll be down early and on pub door.
Well, you keep the dog behind your back just the same, in case Mr. Higginbottom hasn't gone yet. It might be better if Ozzy showed Joe to his dad.
Ah, so we're not so confident now, are we?
It's not that. I don't want the dog to get too much of a shock. Don't call Mr. Higginbottom Fog on Fred for nothing, you know.
Yes, what is it?
Oh, hello, Mr. Fog on Higginbottom.
Oh, it's you, Clitheroe. What have you come to upset me about this time?
Nothing. I was hoping you'd be out. I mean, Alfie said you'd be leaning on a pub door down...
Oh, you're here, Alfie, all. What's that about me leaning on a pub door?
That? No, nothing. I mean, Jimmy didn't mean that.
You aren't strong enough to push a pub door open, you big Jesse. What was that?
Say pardon, Alfie. He's been eating radishes.
Alfie, what are you holding behind your back?
His trousers. He's bust his braces.
Say, cheer up. If you must know, it's a little dog. Luke.
Yes, I've brought it for Ozzy.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing.
If you're giving it away, it's probably got distemper, the man's and a touch of bubonic plague.
Look, Mr. Higginbotham, if Ozzy doesn't have the dog, the police are going to put it to sleep.
Is it mad?
Well, he's not very pleased about it.
Alfie, all this isn't funny.
Oh, well, it isn't really in any danger, Jim, is it?
No, but you are. If you try and take the mickey out of me again, Alfreda, I'll tie your looks together.
Look, Mr. Higginbotham, you must be busy, so can I come in and see Ozzy?
No.
Well, can he come out then?
No.
Well, can I shout to him?
No.
If I write a note, will you throw it in his cell?
No. I'll bat your ear off you in a minute.
Yeah, I see. Hey, Mr. Higginbotham, I won't have you talking to Jimmy like that.
Oh, what are you going to do to stop me?
He'll knock you down, that's what.
Oh, will he? Well, come on, all.
No, Jimmy.
Come on.
Let go, Mr. Higginbotham. Say, put me down.
Well, oh, what are you going to stop me calling the kid?
I'll tell him not to listen.
Oh. Oh, go on, beat it, both of you. Go on. And think on in future. Don't bring your own mongrel to this house. It's not a dog's home, you know.
No, we should have brought a pig.
Oh, Jimmy, will you stop climbing on the back of my chair?
Oh, sorry, Grandad. I was just looking out of the window.
That is the sixth time you've looked in the last 2 minutes. What do you want to see?
Alfie Hall. I thought I saw Alfie.
Are you up to something, my boy?
Of course not. Oh, that'll be Alfie. I'll let him in. Susan, Alfie's here.
All right. Calm down. Just open the door and bring him in.
Right, ma'am.
Hello, Jim. Yeah, I brought Joel, like you said.
Quiet, you mug. I said pretend I've never seen him before. Cut it out, Joe. We're supposed to be strangers. Well, what a surprise. Come in, Alfie. Susan, look at the smashing present Alfie's brought for you.
Oh, isn't it lovely? Alfie, that is nice of you.
Oh, that's a wee beauty. What's his name?
Joe.
How do you know?
Alfie told me. Just now, he whispered.
Oh, really, Alfie, it's very nice, but I hope it didn't cost too much.
Oh, no, I got it for nothing. Oh, my ankle!
He means next to nothing. Did I bump you?
There's only one snag about it, Susan. Who's going to take care of it when you're out at work?
Well, you and Grandad can.
Aye, but we're not in all the time.
Well, it's only till Saturday.
What do you mean?
Try kicking your own ankle, Jim.
Well, I mean, on Saturday, I can look after it. The doorbell, thank goodness.
Just a minute. We'll sort this out when I get back.
Alfie, what made you think I'd like a dog?
But I didn't. I brought get off!
He means he didn't know for sure, don't you?
Yes.
Something smells a bit fishy here.
It's Alfie's been for their kippers.
Come in, Mr. Whittle. I'm very glad you've called.
Oh, dearie me, I didn't mean to cause no trouble. I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't know the dog business was a secret, and I told you, I've made a bit of a foxy's paws.
Oh, no, the mouth of the Mersey Tunnel.
What is all this pet?
Jimmy found that dog, and he dare bring it in himself, so he used Alfie.
But he said I could give it to Susan for a present.
Yes, until Saturday, when no doubt it would have mysteriously disappeared to the pet shop.
But why would he take it to the pet shop?
Of course. What do I care about 5 shillings?
You little monster. For 5 measly shillings, you'd make me miserable and make Alfie look a fool.
You can't blame me for that. Get off me here, Grandad.
I'll give you something to remember, my boy.
Please, Father, not in front of Mr. Whittle.
No, and you're staying for supper, aren't you, Mr. Whittle? In fact, you can have me bed for the night.
Now, just a minute, Jock, and you, Pat. Jimmy was only thinking of the dog, really, you know. Getting it a good home. The 5 bob is only incidental.
Now, Mr. Whittle, it's no use trying to defend him.
Oh, go on, Pat. Don't be hard on the nipper. Let the dog stay here till Saturday.
Oh, please, ma'am, go on. And I promise I'll be good.
Well, Pat, maybe it would be better for the wee dog to have a decent home.
Oh, you're all the same.
Oh, good old man. As Mr. Whittle would say, you're definitely my favorite Judy.
Jimmy's taking his time at that pet shop, Father.
Well, it's Saturday morning, Pat. They're probably busy.
Well, he'd better not bring that dog back with him. This home looks as though a tornado had hit it. 3 cushion covers ruined.
And not to mention the meal in need of my slippers.
Is that you, Jimmy?
Yes, ma'am. I've got some news for you.
The only news I want to hear is that you got rid of that dog.
Oh, yes. And Mr. Bottomley gave me 7 and 6, not 5, Bob.
Good. Well, that compared for the damage to my cushions.
Oh, it's gone.
What? You've spent 7 and 6 pence already?
Well, that's the news. You know the old rag and bone man?
Aye.
Well, he's having to pack up. He can't afford to go on any longer. And he's an old man, you see. And...
what's that got to do with it?
Well, ma'am, I know you wouldn't like to see a poor, dumb animal put to sleep.
What do you mean?
Well, I've bought the rag and bone man's old donkey.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan, with Tony Melody, Brian Truman, and Percy Edwards. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
I came back to tell you that I couldn't keep the donkey. Still, it's gone to live on a farm. My mum made me promise not to bring any more animals home for a year. Anyway, it'll be all right to take this home. I mean, this isn't an animal. It's a grass snake. Ta-ra!